Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jody Mack, WIP. You can hear him in Philadelphia. Of course, you've heard him many, many times on this station as part of his work on the Infinity Sports Network. Jody Mack, welcome to DC via the radio. How are you, buddy?
Always a pleasure to hop on with you, Grant, Danny. Looking forward to talking to you, bud.
Let's talk about this Eagles team. It seems like they're playing their best football here of late after kind of a treading water start without A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith was hurt, some other injuries. Looks like they're hitting the gas now.
They really have. And Nick Sirianni has taken some grief here in town. He's done some things that make people scratch their head. But you always talk about what adjustments are going to be made. What are you going to change? What are you going to do right? When something goes wrong, how are you going to fix it? Eagles are 5-0 since the bye. They got that bye really early in the year, earlier than I thought would be good for them. But with the results the way they've turned out, I guess it was perfectly timed. But they haven't lost since the bye. They've ripped off five straight, won a bunch by 20 points or more. And Nick Sirianni still doesn't get credit for it, that he brought them together during the bye and they have fixed what they needed. So they are a vastly improved team from the one who went 2-2 in the first month of the season.
Jody Mack, one of the huge differences has been how Jalen Hurts is playing. 16 touchdowns combined, 8 throwing, 8 running, and 1 interception in these 5 games since the bye. He's the hottest quarterback in the league. I saw a stat that he could become just the second quarterback ever, I think with Mahomes, to go 6 straight games with a quarterback rating of 115 or higher if he has another banner game this weekend. What's clicked for him?
And you mentioned the passer rating, which has been outstanding, and the numbers you just threw out certainly dictate that. I said on both my national show down on you guys' station and on WIP on Monday night, the thing that is getting underplayed, both here in Philadelphia and nationally, is Jalen Hurts' ability to run the ball. Certain people just dismiss the tush-push, anybody could do it. Well, if anybody could do it, why don't other teams do it, like the Eagles, or as often as the Eagles, or down on the 2-yard line, push it into the end zone, as the Eagles do. He ran for 2 more last week. He's now got 51 for his career. There's only 2 quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League who have more rushing touchdowns. Cam Newton, who's up in the 70s, and Josh Allen, who's a couple of TDs ahead of him, but has played 30 more games. So Jalen Hurts right now, with his ability to run the football, is looking like he could be the most effective running quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Nobody's talking about that. They just know he takes his time every once in a while, too much time. He got sacked 5 times against the Cowboys in the first half, most of them because he tried to hold on to the ball too long and wait till his guy got open and make a big play. So he's not a perfect quarterback, but when he's got time, when his guys get separation, he delivers the football. If it breaks down, he can make a play with his legs. He's jumping back into the MVP conversation as of right now.
Yeah, to your point, Jody Mack, 10 rushing touchdowns in 9 games for Hurts. Just eye-popping type numbers. Another guy that's run the ball pretty well, I would say, is Saquon Barkley, who has feasted here against Washington over the years. Just what kind of differences has he made? I think I know the answer, but want to hear from you.
pretty darn large. It sets up everything. If you run the football, then you can pass the football, and defense can't cheat. Go ahead and try and bring guys up to the box. Then Hurts goes over the top, and he beats you. Howie Roseman was questioned. There were prying eyes when the Eagles, after never, and I mean never, spending money at the running back position, all of a sudden jumped into the fray and were willing to pay him top dollar to come. I'd say they've gotten their investment back and then some. He's been great at both the running and the passing game, and he's better than the other Eagle running backs at picking up blocks when he does stay in very infrequently on an extra passing play. He's been a great fit in the locker room. Give Howie Roseman the credit for that one, because he kind of changed his modus operandi to spend big for a back. He thought Barkley could do what he's done so far and make the passing game that much more efficient. And yeah, the last five games, the combination of both the run and the pass have been great for the Eagles.
Jody McDonald works in Philly, joining us on Grant and Danny. We're getting a lowdown on the Eagles ahead of tomorrow's game with Philadelphia. How about this defense? How much credit should I give them for being really good? They've been awesome over five games, number one in yards, number one in points, but they have not played anybody. And we know all about that because Washington hadn't played, or I shouldn't say hasn't beaten anybody either. But, I mean, the teams that they have shut down, and now everyone's saying Vic Fangio's defense is one of the best in the league, we're talking about a 13-35 record over these five games. So how real is it?
I saw a great stat. I don't have it in front of me, but you guys know it. The record of the teams the Eagles have beaten so far is 22-45. And people, oh, they haven't beaten anybody. But the record the teams that the Commanders have beaten is 23-45. So they're almost identical. So both have played a comparable schedule to this point, and the Eagles are a half game ahead just because they played one less game than the Commanders. I think these are two very evenly matched teams coming into the game. Yes, the defense has been better than expected. That's for damn sure, even if the opponents haven't been good. But they kept Joe Burrow in check, who's one of the best passing quarterbacks in the league. They faced a couple of guys that, yeah, you wouldn't put on your resume as, hey, we shut him down. But the youth that they've added in the secondary have stepped right in, Mitchell and DeGene, and been phenomenal. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, they needed his veteran leadership in the back end of that defense, and he comes right back in and fits like a glove. So the secondary has been a key. The defensive line is getting enough pressure, not as much as they previously did under Gannon when he was the DC, but you've seen Fangio go to a blitz every once in a while, which is not what usually happens with a Fangio defense. Everybody copies Fangio's defense, and it doesn't usually include blitzing, but he's got two linebackers that he thinks play very well coming downhill in Vaughn and Mecobe Dean. So the Eagles will come after Jaden Daniels, and they'll come from hopefully a spot for the Eagles' sake, but they don't know where they're coming from. But their defensive line has been solid against the run. They just haven't created a ton of pass pressure, but the Eagles have been able to get that elsewhere.
Now, you touched on where I wanted to go here, Jody Mack. And just looking at this defense, a couple years ago, they set the modern record for sacks. They were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Then dropped off a bit last year. This year, they're middle of the pack, but there's, you know, I think the dominant pass rushers that, you know, were available in free agency, like Bryce Huff is, I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, but a relative disappointment in terms of his production. Josh Sweat, I think, has been pretty solid. But so go into that a little bit, where their pressures are coming from, and if it's something that, you know, more has to be committed, maybe against a good offense might be able to take advantage of that, like that push and pull there.
They are, as you just pointed out, compared to 2022, not near as good. Compared to last year, slightly better, and I think it's because of the aggressive nature of Vic Fangio and the way that he's pushed the buttons and been bringing guys from outside just the down four. The Eagles will run a lot of five-man fronts. And that some people consider a blitz, others don't. I think anything fast four means the blitz, and they go to five men up front. That's why they've been pretty good against the run. They have confidence in their secondary. You have to have confidence in your secondary if you're going to commit an extra guy to the front, and they have. So if it's Bourne coming up and playing on the line or Mecobe Dean coming up and playing on the line, those guys are getting there, and they've played very well coming downhill, and it's been the best linebacker play. Even when they went to the Super Bowl in 2022, Edwards was a great tackler, and Kaiser White was a good, solid guy who did what was asked of him. Bourne and Dean have been bigger playmakers than the Eagles have had at linebacker. Shoot, you might have to go back to Jeremiah Trotter to find a pair. Now, it's only 9 games in, so I'm not putting them in the Hall of Fame just yet, but this is the best linebacker play the Eagles have gotten in a long time.
Well, to tell you how long of a time it's been, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is on the Eagles right now. So it's been a little while.
It's been a minute.
Jody,
and I thought he was going to play this year, but he can't get on the field because Dean and Vaughn have been as good as they have.
He was a baller in college. He'll be good eventually for them, I'm sure. Jody McDonald with us here on Grant and Danny. So the area of, that I'm most worried about, and I just want to get your perspective on, we were hoping Marshawn Lattimore was going to play because Washington secondary against A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith feels like a massive problem and a huge mismatch, and the only way to win might be shootout at that point. Is Devontae Smith going to go, first of all? I know he's on the injury report again with a hamstring. And then second, do you think there's a path to Washington defending those two guys in the Eagles passing game without Lattimore?
Well, I was going to ask you because I don't know. I should know, but you'll tell me. Thank you very much. Is Lattimore not playing because he's just not physically up to it or because they want to make sure he's 100% into the scheme by the time they put him on the floor?
No, his hamstring. He's still not practicing at all, Jody.
Yeah, it's a hammy.
Hammy.
Okay, so he's not even going to be out there. Is there a chance he plays next week? He's got 10 days before their next game. When are they expecting him back?
We have not heard, but I would hope so. I mean, they traded for him, as you said. There was thought. We had people on from New Orleans the day of the trade who thought it was a Devontae Adams hamstring.
Like it would be cured by a time zone change?
The time zone change would make it feel better. But that obviously did not happen, as he's now missed 2 games. So the easy answer is we're hoping he plays next week, but we have no idea.
Fair enough. The Eagles probably, at least what I heard from my source this morning, it's more precautionary. It's not; they're not making it up with Devontae. He's feeling the pinch, but if he hasn't done anything by the time the game rolls around tomorrow, I think he's going to be fine. I know he's going to play. I know he's going to start, but the question is, will he be able to go at 100%? That I don't think anybody will know until the game actually gets underway. But he's going to play, and yes, the secondary sons, Marshawn Lattimore, will be severely tested tomorrow. I think the Eagles will be looking to throw the ball, and you're right, it could turn into a shootout game.
Is there an area where they've kind of been able to get away with it against bad opponents? So just think of the comp here for Washington. They, you know, as they're beating Carolina or Cleveland, who wasn't competitive and things like that, they didn't really need kind of that baller at receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. Going up against a good defense like Pittsburgh, it felt a couple times like maybe they did. Is there an area like that for Philadelphia where they haven't needed anything yet because they've been beaten up on bad teams that maybe when they play a good team, that might be something that they're lacking?
Here's the only thing out, because they're, as I said, red hot, 5 in a row, doing everything right, checking all the boxes. Here's the one that I still question just a little bit. Not only have the opponents not been great coming in with beaten records and like, but nobody's jumped out and gotten a lead on them. Nobody has put the pressure of having to be making decisions as to what the other team's going to do. When you're ahead, defenses believe they can dictate terms. You call whatever play you want, we're going to have a defense for it. But when you're behind, it gets a little bit tougher. Fangio hasn't been tasked to figure out a way to maybe get the Eagles doing something different because of the scoreboard. Last week, Dallas, they get ahead. They get all those turnovers rushing downhill. It just was easy. But they haven't played. So if you were asking me from a commander standpoint, what would be the best way to handle the game? Get up by 10 points or 14, 13 points, 14 points, then the Eagle defense will be tested differently.
Jody Mack, ladies and gentlemen, does a great job talking all things Philly sports in Philadelphia. You can hear him on the Infinity Sports Network nationally, including here on The Fan in D.C. Thank you, buddy. It's been great catching up. Next time we chat, hopefully we will be ready for baseball season. And maybe the Nats will be relevant enough that you and I can talk baseball more often. Soon enough.
Either way, my friend, I'm up for it. If you meet me back on when the Eagles and the Commanders play again down in your house, I'll surely come on with you again.
Thanks, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
There's Jody Mack with us on Grant and Danny scouting the Eagles. They are hot. I got to give them a lot of credit because, as you know, I did not think very highly of them early in the season. I'm still not sold. Thursday, tomorrow, could sell me, though. They go out and they put one on Washington. I'll say, okay. That's a division champion. That's a threat in the NFC. That's a really good team. For right now, I just think they're very average, and they've beaten up on bad teams. And you could say the exact same thing about Washington. And I think that's probably fair. The difference being, I think Washington's got a better offense than the Eagles do, and I think that matters.
And I would say also the most recent samples are the best for Philadelphia, trending in the right direction. You know, after the kind of a sluggish start, again, missing guys, they missed Devontae Smith for a game and change in there, and I know A.J. Brown was gone for a couple of games. They kind of survived and lost one where Saquon Barkley dropped the pass that he would catch a million times out of a million. There was turmoil swirling when you combine it with what happened last year down the stretch when they swooned in a collapsing way that nobody has seen in a long time. People wrote them off. This was a group that, to me, was always sort of waiting to get right, and it looks like they have since the bye week, playing their best football lately.
The game changer's been really twofold, I guess. Jalen Hurts protecting the football.
Yep.
16 tutties and a pick. One interception in five games. I mean, he was putting 3-4 balls up for grabs every single week early in the year and at times last year. And then defensively. And I get that they haven't played anybody, but
you got to be good enough to beat the bad teams.
You play
like
who's
that,
on
yeah.
your schedule. Mm-hmm. Number one. They're not number 10. They're not number four. Number one in the NFL in scoring defense and in yards over the last five games. 82 points they've outscored their opponents by. Only the Lions, who are a juggernaut, have a better margin over those five games. Let's give you a Commander's stock report next. Let's localize the convo. Who's the arrow trending up on and down on in D.C.? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some good intel on the Eagles from Jody McDonald last segment, thanks to him. Our double play's coming up at 3:45, and we are blitzing at 4 o'clock. Remember, Wednesday means Wizards Wednesday. We're giving away tickets to go see the Wiz ahead of the Beltway Blitz right at 4 o'clock. And an hour after that, which is 90 minutes from now at 5, Austin Eckler's on the show today. Schedule was weird this week. Practices moved all over the place because of the Thursday game. Travel up to Philly, all kinds of quirkiness. So instead of our Tuesday 5 p.m. segment, we'll do it today with Austin Eckler, sponsored by IT Cadre. That is coming up in about 90 minutes on Grant and Danny. But let's get you a Commander's stock report, and we start with an arrow trending up.
Brian Robinson, looks like he's going to go, question mark? Now, I thought that a couple times, and he hasn't gone. But that is the idea here, is that Brian Robinson had to rest this past week, tried to give it a go, wasn't able to. Hopefully he's on the right track, recovered. Listen, you're playing a really good team. You want to be at full complement. I don't think it's devastating not to have him for a game here or there, as other guys can shoulder the load. But he's the best at shouldering that load, and they could use some of his thump.
Terry McLaurin, coming off of five catches for 113 yards. That was his second five-catch, 100-yard performance in 3 weeks. That was the fourth time this season that he's gone for 100 yards. Terry McLaurin is on pace for almost 80 catches, second most ever for him, and over 1,200 yards, which would be a career high. Also on pace for a career high in touchdown catches. It's amazing what happens when you and a really talented quarterback are on the same page. I've been thinking about this, by the way, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He and Jaden Daniels are really in lockstep on some of the downfield throws. That corner fade that they ran on the sideline this past week was beautiful. Just textbook. If that was a touchdown, that would have been the talk of the NFL. It was a lot like the play in Cincinnati, honestly,
yeah,
that buried the Bengals on the road on Monday Night Football that everyone around the league raved about for a couple of days. I'll bet you the catch percentage on that was similar. I think the previous one was like 10.9% likely out of the hand. I'll bet you that was somewhere between, I don't know, 10 and 20% likeliness of being caught. It was an unbelievable
grown man stuff.
It was an unbelievable catch. But him and Daniels are on the same page. When Terry's open deep almost every single time, since the first of the season when he was open against Tampa Bay, Daniels has hit almost all of those throws.
Dante Fowler Jr. Who's third in the NFL in sacks? Who's third? Come on, show me your hand. It's Dante Fowler. Third in the league in sacks. Third, not 10th, not 17th. This is a guy that was kind of a part-time Peter early on. He has earned his way into the top three, trailing only Trey Hendrickson and Dexter Lawrence in the NFL. Third in the NFL in sacks for a guy they signed for punter money. Pretty incredible, man.
Adam Peters, general manager in Washington. Why, you ask? Well, as Washington gets ready to play the Philadelphia Eagles, it is not lost on me that Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver taken in the first round by the Rivera era, Marty Party, has 8 catches for 98 yards on the year. McLaurin, obviously as a number one receiver and on his way to a Pro Bowl perhaps, has outdone him. The rest of the wide receivers in Washington have all done the exact same thing. Outperform Dotson. Noah Brown, 25 for 350. Alamide Zaccheaus, 22 for 230. Luke McCaffrey, 13 for 130. Even De'Ami Brown, 13 for 145. Have all outpaced Jahan Dotson, 8 for 98. That deal looking better and better the further we get away from it.
You just mentioned him, Alamide Zaccheaus. We got 3 fumbles here in our last 3 games combined, including 2 on the old punt return situation here this past week against Pittsburgh. He's still going to be doing it. I'm sure I'll feel confident and comfortable when that ball meets foot. The punt goes up in the air, and here goes OZ back there. He'll be fine. Only 1 catch for 8 yards as well in the game, despite 3 targets. So not trending in the right direction for a guy that early on was pretty impactful.
Benjamin St. Juice, tough go of it this past week, giving up the 30-plus yard touchdown in the end of the game. Game in the balance. He gives up a 10-yard cushion, still gets caught flat-footed, doesn't flip his hips, and ends up trailing a wide receiver who catches a lot of fade balls into the end zone on what was a corner fade there. You just got to have a little bit more awareness of the situation and be a little more prepared for what's about to play out. He, on the season at this point, has now strung together some performances here where you're not seeing as many aggressive plays or passes defended. He has not broken up a pass on the stat sheet in the last 4 weeks, although he did have 1 PBU on a penalty. It was not his penalty. It was away from the ball. So it didn't count this past week. But speaking of penalties, too many flags, too handsy at times. Just has not been a great look for him this season. They're asking him to do more than they probably should. It's why they went and got Lattimore. And so far, they haven't been able to implement that plan. So Benjamin St. Juice, got to get more out of you, especially this weekend. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, good luck to you.
You know who Washington's highest graded defender was via PFF? You might know, Grant, because you know stuff like this, but if you're just listening in at home or in your car or somewhere else, Sheldon Day. Who's Sheldon Day? He plays for Washington. He went to Notre Dame. He's been around this league a little bit here, there, and everywhere. Kind of an afterthought, but he was really good against Pittsburgh. Had 8 tackles. 8 tackles. 4 assists. 4 solos. 1 tackle for loss. He came in and helped. Only played around 30% of snaps, but was really impactful.
Zach Ertz on 37 catches has just 88 yards after the catch. That is 2.3 yards after the reception on average for Zach Ertz. When you operate in the middle of the field like he does and underneath, you'd think there's generally just 4, 5, 6 yards there to be had before normally you're running into a defender. There's going to be times where you're well covered, but there should be times where you can rumble. I mean, God forbid you make someone miss every now and then. There might be some real estate for you to run for a little while. 88 yards after the reception for him on 37 catches this football season. Now, Ben Sinnott has just 3 catches this year. Just as an example, even though one was in the end zone, another one was like at the line of scrimmage where he immediately got tackled, he has 14 yards after the catch on those 3 receptions. It's just hard to do what Ertz has done in the way of, you know, not making plays after the reception. Need a little bit more out of him in that area. A homecoming this week, by the way.
Yes.
He's been named the offensive captain, not coincidentally, I'm sure, by Dan Quinn, as he goes back to Philly where he played so many years as a great tight end for the Eagles.
Since his couple of games where he was unbelievable, Jeremy McNichols, not much doing here. Over his last 3 contests, one carry for negative one, 8 for 20, and 4 for 7. Doing some rudimentary math, that's 13 carries for 26 yards, which computes to, hold on, let me do that. That's 2 yards per carry. Not really working all of a sudden in the ground game. That has been a little bit of a hidden underplot here as Brian Robinson has been nursing his way back to health.
How about Zane Gonzalez, who made both of his field goal attempts with a long of 48? 2 for 2 from 40 to 49, both in that 45 to 49 range. He also hit all three of his extra points. Austin Seibert has been ruled out for this game. He will not be kicking for Washington, so it means a second game for Zane Gonzalez. Everything was clean in game number one. They will need that to continue to have a chance on the road in Philly.
Now, we love this guy. We like this guy on this program. I like this guy personally. I think they got something here. But production is production. 3 catches for 36 yards. That sounds nice. But then when you realize it's the entire total for Luke McCaffrey over 5 games, not much production happening from the rookie wideout. Now, the PFF numbers and the people that grade this thing will tell you how open he is all the time. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if it's Daniels isn't looking that way. I don't know if that's not where the play design is going. I don't know how open he really is or how separated he really is. I don't know what I don't know here. I just know that this was the, hey, the receiver position is solved. They invested in this. Not much production there over the last 5.
It's a tough grade on Luke McCaffrey.
Just it stocks down. Three receptions over 5 games.
Can't throw himself the ball.
It's not much.
All right. That's tough. Don't be a receiver in Danny's class. Give me a stock down. Where was Chris Rodriguez this past week? He basically carried the mail in the second half without Brian Robinson. Going back to the Giants game. I'm literally saying, I don't really get how they do the running back thing. They go by momentum sometimes. Like, there's a week where it's just the German McNichols week out of nowhere against Arizona. Austin Eckler gets all the carries in the first half against the Giants, but then doesn't touch the ball in the second half. Chris Rodriguez doesn't come off the field. They can't give McNichols one carry to get me my rushing prop on FanDuel. That's not the point. Kind of is, though. But, you know, they can't do that a week ago with Chris Rodriguez, and then this past week, he's nowhere to be found. He's not on the field. I don't really get how they do it. They just kind of roll with the hot hand, I guess. But I don't know. After he didn't play in the second half last week, and now B-Rob comes back, feels like his role is about to get a lot smaller moving forward.
Tressway still good. That is your update. Tressway continues to be good. A little bit down by his standards in terms of net yards per punt. He's only in the middle of the pack in the NFL. But still, Puma Let's Rage kicking nukes at 48 yards when foot meets ball. Good for Tressler.
I wish there was like a stock sideways instead of up or down, but I'll just say Jaden Daniels, the rusher, after he ran for 5 yards, a career low against the Pittsburgh Steelers this past week on 3 attempts. Need a little bit more from the legs of Jaden Daniels to help get the rushing game going, to help make him even a little bit more dynamic and scary in the passing game as well. But if you look at the last 3 weeks for Washington here, the Bears game, where he was 21 of 38, 326 at the Hail Mary, but for much of the game was around like 50% passing. And then this past week, where he ended up completing about 50%, partially because there were too many drops, if we're being honest. I'm not saying he's struggled. That is not the case. He's been good. But he's gone from MVP, elite, EPA per play leader in the NFL. He's now fallen 2 spots over the last couple of weeks in that stat. Like, it's kind of leveled off. I want to bounce back big time. Primetime Jaden Daniels performance. And by the way, I'm predicting one. I predicted it against the Bengals that he was going to light it up. It's going to look like he was playing at LSU at Death Valley under the lights in Baton Rouge. This dude gets up for these games. Another primetime game, standalone, everybody watching. I think he balls out in a big-time performance tomorrow night.
My last one here, GP, Daron Payne. Nothing terrible's happening. It's not a disaster. This isn't anything awful, but no John Allen. And it's a rotating cast of characters next to you. It's the Sheldon Days of the world. They popped more often, frankly, than he has over the last handful of weeks, especially since Allen went out. 3 quarterback hits. I think there are 6 or 7 guys on the team that have more. Only 1 tackle for loss, a sack and a half, which was the result of other guys doing a lot of work, getting a cleanup sack. Nothing wrong with that, but I need him to be the bother. I need him to be somebody that's disrupting a little more often. What better time than a really good opponent in Philadelphia there tomorrow night?
From the Commanders Stock Report to our double play next. What is going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. In 20 minutes, your chance to win Wizards tickets on The Fan. We'll be giving away Wizards tickets on a Wizards Wednesday right at the top of the hour, coming up in about 15 minutes on Grant and Danny. Austin Eckler's on the show at 5 o'clock. That's about 75 minutes from now. Looking forward to catching up with him in our weekly segment sponsored by our friends over at IT Cadre. But it is time now for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Bad, buddy.
Uh-oh.
Down bad. So much ballyhoo last night about that I had to, you know, I gear up to go play some pickup hoops. Tuesday night hoops leagues. Now this is, it's not a league, but this is a group of guys, all former players. Everybody was athletic at one point. This is not that point. This is all, you know, from years ago. But it's a nice competitive game. It's a good balance, right? Good runs. So the outdoor pickle games, I'm sure, basketball games in my neighborhood, those are fun. Those are good, too. I like those. This is a good quality run, right, where a little bit more is expected of you, defensively, accountability-wise, et cetera, okay? I was a disaster last night. I put all of my compression on. That's thigh compression, calf compression on both legs, headband to absorb the sweat, armband to absorb that sweat. I could not hit water if I fell out of a boat.
Yesterday. Oh, no.
Thank you, Frank. I mean, what? Probably a dozen. Easy. Gimme game-winning looks
Ooh.
That I couldn't hit.
And you're expected to make those.
Because
if I could say this, yesterday we were talking, and you're normally very true in your assessment of yourself.
Yeah.
There was another guy you said was better than you. But you said you're the best shooter there.
I'm not the best player there by any stretch.
But you're the best shooter.
Yeah, I would say if you lined everybody up, you know, whatever sample you would need, right, 100 different occurrences, shoot the most number of shots in games, you know, or game-type situations, I'd probably come out either on top or close to it, et cetera, right? There's other guys that are much better players than I am, 100%. But that's my thing.
But when my shooter is dragging me down.
What are you even doing here?
I got a problem.
Can you just go sit down, Pudgy?
Because the way you described it to me is you can't D anybody up.
No, I can't guard anyone.
So I need you to make baskets.
Yep.
And if you're not doing that, you can't play for me.
So now when
I can't coach with them.
Can't do it.
I can't win with them.
So now the three's not falling. I acknowledge that. I mean, I still got to take the open ones. It's part of the offense. But when I'm shot faking, going by somebody, well, let me put a snow bunny in. Let me just stand next to the barrel. I couldn't make layups last night.
Oh, man.
I mean, my knee hurts this morning. That's a punishment, I'm sure, from coming down awkward.
I'm going to say something that you won't like.
Go ahead, say it. I deserve it.
It's a question, actually, but it's going to be a little bit offensive, if that's okay with you. Were you, like, awful to deal with?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's the thing, not that you ever want me to come with you to any of these things, but the reason my answer would be no.
Right.
In every single regard, is whatever that is. Like, it was funny when we played a pickup game of pickleball that nobody cared about on our trip with Kondori and Murad, where we're just all out there having fun. And you took it more seriously than everybody else, I would say. But you also were fun to play with for the most part. But the thing that was like a little bit of, okay, I can see what this would be like in real life, is every now and then you'd get into a flow, we'd have a good volley. If something didn't go the way you wanted, you didn't have the shot you wanted, you didn't put the spin on it, you botched it, you hit it too far. There would either be you'd forget where you were for a second and you'd curse or you'd kind of McEnroe it for a minute.
Yep.
Or you would like come over to me after the play, be like, dude, I'm so sorry. I apologize. And like, I wanted you to stop doing that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as you can.
Well,
whenever you're ready.
Because one of their buddies, because it was good natured and fun with our guys, Kondori and Morad, but they had a pretty big crew with them. One of their buddies, and I'm not going to name any names, but it was the Cowboy fan.
Yes, it was.
So got a little, sketch is not the right word. A ball was in, he called it out. Another ball was out. He called it in.
Yeah.
Once that happened, we ramped up a little bit. It went from let me showcase and show explain to everybody that this is my house to now you're getting beat.
Okay.
And then when I would foul up there, that's the escalation.
Which is true, but I'm not even talking about the escalation of the caring as much as the apologizing.
Yeah.
It's like, bro. We're just dudes out here, all of us.
And you're like halfway watching the Falcons game.
Yeah, I'm watching Kirko and the Falcons against the Chiefs on my phone while we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And these other guys are playing for the first time ever. Like, please don't apologize when you hit a ball out. You don't have to do that. Trust me when I tell you, I'm not upset at you. Do I look upset at you? So my point is, if you're doing that in that setting, what are you doing in a basketball game where you care and you're around a bunch of other guys that care too much too? My guess is you're being a lot to deal with.
It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you're taking it to the other end of the floor with you.
Yep. All part of it.
How much over the top, like, oh, I can't believe this was there?
Tons. because here's the only way
do
to
do it. Do you think any of them are annoyed, or do you think they're all just like...
No, everyone's annoyed.
Oh, he's funny. This guy's funny.
Everyone's annoyed. I know what this is, pointing at my face. I get it. I'm very aware. I didn't used to be, but I am now. Like, there's a desperation to let everyone know that this is abnormal.
Yes.
Like, what's wrong with me today? Exactly. Everyone's like, nobody cares. Yeah. We're just here to get exercise.
Is that what it is? Is that at its core what it is? It's like, I'm not actually this bad. I just missed a shot.
Like, I promise you guys. Because I think maybe now some of them play with me enough that they would acknowledge, like, yeah, like, 9 times out of 10, he gets that open shot. He's not going to down. Let's go play defense. But when it wasn't happening last night to the nth degree, then it was like, then it was everything. It was like layups or you know, in rhythm jumpers or off the dribble. Nothing went in, and it was terrible.
Jay on Twitter says, there's no such thing as caring too much, baby. Play to win. I think he would fit in well on a Danny Ruye team.
He would fit. Yeah, can you play? But it was funny. We go to this elementary school, and there's a AAU team or like a group finishing their practice as we get into the gym.
How old?
It's always hard for me to tell. Like maybe 14.
So like good kid. Like
Totally. And
if one of those kids had wandered out on the court, would they have held their own against you guys?
Probably not, and not their fault.
Smaller.
They're just still young enough. Yeah. There's a few grown men in there. Like there's one dude who's 6'3", 6'4", built, who like you know he when he. Drives the land, he gets a knee up high enough. Like, if you want to take a charge, be my guest, dude, but you're going to catch a knee to the chin, you know? So, but they're almost to that point, right, where they're almost in high school and probably doing. And the coach was, like, reaming them out after their practice, which I guess was subpar. We didn't see any of their practice, but it sounds like it wasn't real good. Everyone's going around, like, talking about effort and heart and desire and guts, whatever. And on the way out, he's like, hey, are you Danny? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I heard you talking about this on the radio. I didn't realize you guys were coming here. You want my boys to come back in and scrimmage with you? And I was like, unless they want to guard someone that's pouting because they missed a shot and settles for pull-up jumpers after like a minute or two of play because they're tired, then they should probably just go home.
We'll be okay without them.
We'll be all right without those guys.
How sweaty did you get?
The most. Ugh. Guys, everyone jokes about it.
So this is where this is the difference. I would just stand so far away. You could get whatever shot you want. If you were super sweaty and gross, nowhere near you.
Yeah, but that's great defense. Last night?
That's a good point.
I'm a self-turnover last night. I'm a self-check.
Are you dripping with sweat?
Pouring.
But do you know what I mean by
yes, like, of course I do.
Like if you
my shirt is disgusting
down,
to the touch.
Right.
If the ball touches my shirt, we have to wipe it off.
No.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And if you put your finger down, does any sweat drip off your fingertips?
Like not last night, but yes, in general.
The full on Shaq.
Yeah, that's why I do the armbands.
Oh. Yeah.
And the headband.
If you want to see what Danny looked like on his way over to play basketball. You can go look at the picture I posted on Twitter last night at Grant H. Paulson because we had to stay around the tape last evening after the show. So Danny had to change into his basketball giddy up before he left, which was a treat for the rest of us.
Everybody was happy.
Oh, we had a good time with it.
Yeah.
Top of the hour, we got those Wizards tickets on a Wizards Wednesday. Austin Eckler in 1 hour right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.